We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful NYC, the one, the only, the anti-playoff member of this broadcasting duo who tweets about it, even though both of our names are on the account, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I've made it clear that 98% of the tweets from that account are from me.
And listen, you take your anti-playoff propaganda, listen, and you leave it at the door when you log into Twitter.com. You hear me?
No, absolutely not. Ty, did you see the hashtag engagement?
I will change that password, dog. I'm not even kidding.
Away from Ty Hart's TCU 69 is we're gonna actually switch it away.
Stop
from that
it,
beautiful
Dan.
Password.
Stop it. This is an open internet, and people can get in there.
I stand by everything I've said. It is a beautiful day in New York, by the way. Had a nice day outside with the wee little solid baby. I had unexpected childcare duties today, and You know what? I had a great time.
Excellent.
Changed a lot of diapers. We had good little nap time. Actually, nap times. I had time to sort out my picks as we were going for longer walks, and I probably smell 11% more poopy than usual.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Usual. That should give you a different energy for the show then.
I do. I've seen the world from a different set of eyes, and I'm ready to put that onto my week 9 picks. Week 9.
It is week 9. I did catch a niner in there. Hello. Welcome all. Thank you for downloading the Solid Verbal. I'm Ty. He's Dan. Don't forget, you can follow us out on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual hotspots. There's also a subreddit at solidverbal.reddit.com run by our good friend Peter, started by an ardent group of Verballers. Run by them as well. We pop in from time to time to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And most importantly, if you like the show, go on out to your podcasting app of choice. I don't know if it's Apple or Google or Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Pocket Casts, any of them.
Overcast.
You can find.
Do you have, so what, have you always been an Overcast guy?
No, I used to be an Apple guy, but then Overcast came out and it's a superior product.
Overcast is really good. I really like it a lot. Do you use, because I know you're also new to AirPods, Ty.
Yeah.
And this is podcast relevant, so I feel good talking about it. Not a sponsor. Apple is not a sponsor. Overcast, not a sponsor.
No.
Are you comfortable enough now to do the tap on whichever ear to control your AirPods, like the double tap on the right to pause, the double tap on the left to fast forward, or you can obviously change it to whatever you want? Because it looks very douchey doing it.
It does. No, I find I have to hit my AirPod a little harder than I would have expected, which is probably by design.
Yes.
But I have developed a comfort level with that.
Do you wear them in public or is it just sort of around the house?
It's around the house. unless I feel like I can get away with one ear without people looking at me and saying, oh, there's that guy again.
In the office or driving? Where?
Usually on driving, yes. On the way out of the office sometimes, but only if it's on the ear closest to a wall where no one can see it.
Okay. I'm nonstop in public, grocery store, whatever. I'm wearing them all the time. Okay. So,
excellent. Ty,
we have week 9 ahead of us.
Yes.
And all of what you said is definitely true. You should subscribe. You should give us ratings. You should review us, whatever, whatever app you like. It's week 9. There's a little less electricity than I think we thought there'd be early on in the season. Because if you look ahead to this week, you're thinking, oh my God, we've got Wisconsin, Ohio State. We've got Auburn, LSU, Penn State, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Wazoo, Oregon. Looking ahead, you probably were excited about Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Iowa Northwestern, a battle of two Big Ten West teams that should be contending for the crown in that division, Miami Pitt, Oklahoma State, Iowa State. So you look ahead to this week and you're saying there is electricity. I'm going to say there's a buzziness electricity-wise.
Static Saturday?
I think that it's buzzing through the air, the electricity, like a firefly tie.
Oh, okay. See, I was wondering why you put that sound effect in the Dropbox, and now it all makes sense.
Well, there's two reasons. Actually, there's three reasons. Also, there's a pretty significant Temple game, right? In Philly. UCF Temple.
Owls.
So we've got Owl City.
Sure.
That song, the little riff you played is Firefly. So I still think there's an electric buzz in the air about week 9, even though, you know, UCLA has gotten a lot more disappointing than we thought they'd get. We have Alabama dealing with an injury to Tua. I still think there's electricity, but I don't think we're talking about a power grid tie. I think it's just little bits in the air. How about that? Owl City Saturday.
Owl City Saturday.
Yes.
Ooh.
But there's a third reason. I have the Temple reason.
Wow.
I have the Firefly reason. I have a third reason why it's Owl City Saturday. And we'll get to that when it's relevant.
We'll get to that when it's relevant. Okay.
I'm not sold on this yet.
Okay. I gotta be honest. I need you to sell it to me. But as we go through, and I know I often say, well, we'll come up with something better as we go through. And then I just sort of forget about it. And that's what we go
empty
with.
Empty promises.
Default. So yeah. I'm willing to sit here and listen to your third reason.
The other suggestion I had was Scott's Tots Saturday.
Oh, that's the best episode ever of The Office, right?
It is the most uncomfortable scene and premise. I don't know if it's the best episode. I'm partial to Dinner Party. We have a lot of games to preview.
Yeah,
but that was kind of my suggestion as well, because of a tie-in with Larry Scott and having the two best Pac-12 games finish at 2 a.m. Eastern time. So that, okay, you know, calling the Pac-12 scheduling Scott's Tots kind of made sense to me. When we get to the third reason for Owl City and having that riff available, even if we're not naming it Owl City Saturday, I will let you know.
All right. Well, thank you again to everyone for downloading. You know the ways that you can subscribe to the show. Don't forget, if you are out there, if you got something to get off your chest as you're watching the games on Saturday, or Thursday or Friday, for that matter, 408-VERBAL-1, 408-837-2251. That's how you can reach out and get in touch and be part of a Reverb segment, which will play on the Sunday Week 9 recap show that we're going to put out early afternoon. Daniel, let's get rolling here. So in addition to our full-on committing to the Saturday bit,
mm-hmm, always,
which we've done for a few weeks running, now we also have this window of opportunity. Window of opportunity is when you can go out and be amongst the people, be a normal human being, but yet still be back in front of your television with enough time to really absorb, imbibe, mm-hmm,
yeah,
all the college football goodness that takes place on a given Saturday. I'll be honest, I don't have a good answer here for when your window of opportunity is. I see a good game at noon between Wisconsin and Ohio State. Maybe not a good game.
No, it's a good game.
When we talk about it on Sunday, but at least in the buildup, it's interesting to me. I see a 3:30 slot between Auburn and LSU, which is interesting. I see Penn State at Michigan State. Possible Yakko's home dog of the week potential there. And then at 7:30, obviously my team's playing on the road in Ann Arbor against Michigan. So I don't really have a good one. Not that I ever do, being so we do this national podcast. I'm just a little bit at a loss. I guess if I'm picking, I say try to go early. And I'm going to assume because the Wisconsin-Ohio State game is a 14-point line, that Vegas agrees with me that this is a game that could get a bit out of hand. So I get, if I'm forced to pick, gun to the head, I probably say try to be back in front of your television before like 4:35 o'clock Eastern time.
See, I think it's almost, and it depends how you feel about UCF Temple on this Owl City Saturday, possibly, name pending. I think it might be nighttime. I think Michigan-Notre Dame is skippable. In terms of national interest, I think Michigan-Notre Dame is skippable. Mostly because I don't think the level of play is going to be all that high. I don't think it's going to be a fun back and forth. Even if Notre Dame wins by 10 points, if Michigan pulls it out by 3, something like that, I think you can have yourself a nice night on the town.
Okay, counterpoint.
Yeah.
As a build on that point.
But UCF Temple, pretty.
Self-preservation Saturday. Don't watch Michigan play football.
I mean, I would say don't watch Shea Patterson or Ian Book try to throw footballs down the field, but that's a me thing.
You scoundrel.
So that's what I'm going to watch that game, but I'm saying I am more intrigued by the earlier windows and the super late window if you're the type of person that can stay up that late. So that's sort of process of elimination, but that would be my suggestion, especially since BC Clemson kind of looked electric before, but Anthony Brown goes down and a little bit less. So I think they're going to be starting a former walk-on at quarterback, the Eagles are. So,
by the way, next week is skippable Saturday. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, is it real down?
Oh, it's real down. But okay. We'll get to that next week, okay? Let's start with our picks for week 9.
Dan, time. Help. I need picks of the week.
Now, as Dan said, there are some interesting games on the slate here. They're not all...
Your voice doesn't need to go up. There are interesting
games. It's not week 7. It's not week 2.
Okay.
But it's, week 9's got some intriguing matchups here. We have a surprising number of games on our slate.
Yeah.
On our shared Google Doc that we live by, we have an astounding number of games here. So we're going to do our best to go through the 5 headliners that we have listed and then rifle through, 18 other games, however many we've got here.
Yeah, we got a bunch.
Let's start at high noon. It's the big noon. As they say on the Fox Network, it is Wisconsin at Ohio State. This game opened at 13.5. It stayed around there. About 14 points. The Buckeyes are favored. Ohio State has won the last 6 matchups, but here's an interesting factoid, Dan. Did you know 5 of those 6 have been one possession games?
I actually did know that. I looked that up, and I'll drill down even deeper, Ty. Do you remember the last time they played? What happened? That has almost nothing to do with football.
I don't remember what I ate for lunch.
So they played in the Big Ten championship game a couple years ago in Indianapolis. And the battle in the trenches, I believe at the goal line, was so intense and so fiercely fought that they dug the field turf up.
Oh, right.
Shooting everywhere. So I'm calling this matchup now the Carpet Killer Classic.
Sure.
Yeah, the Carpet Killer Classic, because we have some official names for other games this week, and Wisconsin Ohio State feels like a big enough deal pretty much every year when they play that it should have a name.
People would tune out if we named every game?
We might increase our listenership. At this point, people just might only listen for our dumb branding.
This is also a matchup of the top 2 defenses in college football by some metrics. So
yeah.
I guess you can make a case that that's going to keep this one closer. We've seen Wisconsin play against good Michigan and good Michigan State defenses. And they scored more than 35 against both teams. Offensively, they look really good in both those games.
Correct.
And on the Ohio State side, they've been crazy good on offense all year. Michigan State sort of slowed them down a little bit, but not all that much. So in terms of the game, in terms of the point spread, Dan, where are you at with this one? The Carpet Killer Classic.
I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take the points because I am willing to believe that Wisconsin just laid an egg last week in Champaign, and a bit of a look-ahead situation, bit of a not taking Illinois seriously, even though it is an improved Illini team. And it's very difficult for me to believe that Ohio State is going to look like the best team in college football by 10,000 miles, or at least the best team in the Big Ten by 10,000 miles every week. That they're not going to have a test. Because in previous years, and different coach, different quarterback, I get all that, where they've looked like complete world beaters, they'll have that game where they sneak by Michigan State, or they sneak by Michigan, or they, you know, get drilled by Iowa or Purdue. And so I just don't think they're fully unflappable. So the Wisconsin defense, I think, will do enough to harass Justin Fields and stop J.K. Dobbins enough. I mean, these are excellent players. They won't always have long, successful drives, but their actual successful drives, I think, are going to eat enough clock that this game stays close, eat up enough possessions. Ohio State has been a slow starting team this season, big second quarters. Yeah. So maybe that has something to do with it. So I don't think Wisconsin has the downfield game changers. You know, Jake Ferguson's pretty big, but otherwise the smaller receivers, Quintez Cephas. In order to beat Ohio State, you have to force them to play the entire field on defense. And I don't think Wisconsin can or will. So I have this one about 31-20 Ohio State.
Yeah, I really want to take Wisconsin to cover because I'd love to see a close game here. And
yeah,
I thought about this one long and hard, Dan. I'm feeling my inner Christina. I'm saying my body's saying go. My heart is saying no.
Okay. Why does your body, why are you feeling the physical passion about taking points?
I don't know.
Explain that to
everybody. Why are we
listening,
doing this podcast for little to no money for 11
That's
years?
That's true. That's fair.
I can't explain it.
Okay, so you can't take the points.
I can't. Ohio State has looked so damn good this season that I can't rationally pick against them. The offense has more that it can throw at Wisconsin, and I think the mobility of Justin Fields can pressure that Badger defense in ways it hasn't seen so far. I can also see this one being fairly close for a couple quarters, maybe with Ohio State pulling away late. So give me something like 34-17 Ohio State wins and covers, but I actually look for an interesting game most of the way through.
So almost a front door cover for you.
Almost a front door cover.
Okay.
Yeah, almost. Not going to play the sound. Just almost.
Okay.
We disagree. By the way, go on out to solidverbal.com/pick'em and pick this game.
Oh, yeah.
Along with nine others. Yeah. Okay. 3:30 CBS. It's the Auburn Tigers, the LSU Tigers, Dan. Crouching Tigers, hidden offense?
It is the Tiger Bowl.
Open at 12.5. Down to about 11.5, 11, 10, depends where you look. LSU won 22-21 on the road last year. I think if you want to beat LSU, you hope for a handful of stops, and then you hope that you can outscore them. Sort of like the Oklahoma defense from last year.
Yeah.
That game plan. I think you have to try and deploy that if you want to beat LSU with the way their offenses look this year. I don't think completely shutting them down is a real possibility at this point. So you kind of got to beat them in a shootout. And I don't think Auburn's got that. I think you got to be a better passing team than Auburn is, because LSU is good against the run. If you're going to get them, you got to get them with the pass. And now that we started to see more of those freshman moments, as you would say, out of Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm far less convinced that Auburn can go toe-to-toe, especially with this game in Death Valley. My gut now is that people are a little too high on Auburn. And maybe I played into that a bit by talking up Bo Nix the first, six weeks.
You were talking him up like an hour ago.
No, I wasn't.
he's been good. I mean, the Florida game was rough.
It has been at least 2 weeks, sir, since I talked up Bo Nix.
He was very good against Mississippi State in late September.
I like the defense. Don't get me wrong there. I don't see him winning in Baton Rouge. I like LSU 35-21, somewhere in that range.
I think this will be the best defense that LSU will have faced thus far. I know they've played Oregon. I know they've played Florida, two very, very good defenses. But up front, Auburn is filthy. They're so good in so many ways. They're really good at just limiting you snap to snap. They're focused. I don't think, and LSU has very quietly been very complete. And Auburn has been so good against the run. They've been opportunistic on defense. I think LSU survives this. The problem to me is Auburn away from the Plains. We saw them really struggle against Oregon and pull it out, absolutely, but they were down double digits late. We saw them struggle in the Swamp. We saw them look pretty ugly on offense against Texas A&M at Kyle Field. And yes, they blew out Arkansas. But I don't know if I fully trust Auburn and Bo Nix to fully get one over on LSU and keep up with this LSU offense. But at the same time, I think they're going to be limiting. And we saw some struggles early from the LSU passing attack and red zone opportunities. So I'm going to say LSU survives this one. This one has been, I want to say Auburn beat LSU by 5, and that led to Les Miles getting fired. And since then, LSU has been 5 points better. So it's been dead even over the past, whatever, 3-4 years.
Right.
So I think it's really close. I think the Tiger Bowl it's another year where it's very close. I know it's either like a 1 point game or a 24 point game every year. I think it's going to be a close one this year. So I'm going to take those points happily.
We disagree once more.
Again.
3:30 ABC, Penn State at Michigan State. Penn State opened at about a 7-point favorite. Went down. I saw it at 5 at one point. Now it's at 6, kind of jumped around a little bit. They played this one for the Land-Grant Trophy.
Have you seen the Land-Grant Trophy?
I have seen the Land-Grant Trophy, yes.
It might be the ugliest trophy in college football.
It's
like
the best.
It's like a third of a bureau. It looks like a chunk of furniture.
It's no Iron Skillet, I'll give them that.
Absolutely not even close.
There is also, and I know this, being so I'm a former Penn State student.
For sure.
Current alum, always an alum. We are.
Okay.
There's also a blood drive that goes on with this game. The blood challenge. I'd prefer to call this the blood challenge if we could.
Oh, man. You can't even say, like, shootout anymore. You can't say, the war on I-4.
No.
Border war. You can't say, so now you're going to say blood?
It doesn't get more metal than the blood challenge.
That's true. Okay.
This game is another one that's been very close. In each of the last 2 years, Michigan State's won both times. This is probably a game that the Spartans look at. They say, okay, we can win this game. And I think that's valid. I have no doubt they're going to have confidence, especially getting this one at home. I'm not sure how they're getting to 17 points. How many points do they need to win this game?
Michigan State?
Yeah.
24.
And that's sort of the dilemma. They scored a total of 17 points against Arizona State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin.
Right.
The offense isn't good. There's not a whole lot they do well on that side of the ball. The defense is a different story, but the defense can't do it all. Can they get to 24 points here, Dan?
Probably not. But, I mean, we're talking about picking games against the spread, I suppose. I have this, and I said 24, and I forgot the actual pick I made. I'm looking at my document right here. I have it 23-20, Michigan State.
Really?
So even without getting to 24, I have 23. So
going outright.
So I have a good defense at home that's been good at preventing big plays, which is what Penn State has sort of relied on without Sean Clifford being consistently good with intermediate passes, even though he has, I don't know if Pat Freiermuth is the best tight end in the Big Ten, but he's in that conversation. So he has talent, but unable to really, it's not a consistent attack either on the ground or in the air. There's nobody they rely on the ground. There's no go-to guy after KJ Hamler. It's not a particularly deep, in terms of what you can count on with Penn State's offense. Game to game, it changes. So I'm going with a good defense at home that prevents big plays. They're coming off of a bye. It's a tough place to play. You got the trophy on the line, a letdown spot going to a tough place to play for Penn State after beating Michigan the way that they did. Now, Michigan State is beat up along their offensive line, and that is kind of terrifying to pick Sparty with that that Penn State front going up against them. But I'm doing so. I'm sticking by the Dan Rubenstein theory that probably only makes sense to Dan Rubenstein. And, you know, a home dog with a pretty good defense at a tough place to play. So I have it 23-20, Michigan State. The last time Penn State won an East Lansing tie, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
2009. It's been a decade.
Wow.
November 21st, 2009, the number one movie in America, The Twilight Saga, New Moon.
Whoa.
Number two, The Blind Side. Number three, 2012, which is very confusing. Mm. Remember that movie? Yeah. Roland Emmerich.
That was weird.
John Cusack.
Yeah.
And the number one song in America, Ty. Hit your soundboard. Yeah, really? That's right. He has brought it full circle via the Land Grant Trophy.
Wow.
Now talk you about, tell me it's not Owl City Saturday.
Talk about waiting for the payoff.
Yeah, he did.
We're 20 minutes into this show.
So how can I not go? And by the way, KJ Hamler is from Michigan, right?
Yes.
He's from Michigan. Are you an Orchard Lake guy or a Pine Lake guy?
I'm more of a Pine Lake guy, personally.
Well, he's Orchard Lake, and that doesn't spell good things for Penn State.
I know. I know. I do think for as crazy as you are, and your theories mm-hmm. tend to be sometimes.
Yeah.
I do think there may be something to your good defense at home theory, especially when you tack on...
As home dogs, yeah.
As home dogs. All the stuff that you mentioned. I'm not going to go back through it all, but the potential for a
2012,
letdown.
2012, Orchard Lake, right, Miles no, no. City.
I'm talking about Penn State, the potential for a letdown. And yeah. like I said earlier, the confidence that I know Michigan State has from winning the last two games in this series. Still a young Penn State team. How they do in this spot is going to inform how we judge them the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Mainly in a huge spot in a couple weeks at Ohio State. I think I agree with you. Oh. I'm making Michigan State my home dog.
The Yakos. Home dog of the week.
I do not think they win this game, but I do think six is too many. I'm going to call it 21-16 Penn State in just a slog of a defensive game. I don't know what the over-under is. I didn't see it. I would look twice at it if that's mm-hmm. something that interests you.
Yeah.
And I would be inclined to go on the shorter end of that stick just because feels like a game where both teams tighten up. Michigan State, that is sort of their default offensive position.
Right.
Penn State a week after Michigan. I don't know what to expect here.
Penn State absolutely shellacked Michigan State, by the way, in 2009. That'd be an Andrew Corliss.
Oh, boy.
Pass from Darryl Clark.
Holy
open
cow.
Up the game, open up the scoring.
Darryl Clark was a frequent answer of our Twitter proposal a couple weeks ago.
That was a
Twitter question.
A Kirk Cousins game on the other side.
All right. 7:30. ABC, Notre Dame at Michigan. Let's stay in the great state of Michigan.
Mm.
The Wolverines opened as a 4-point favorite over Notre Dame.
This did that surprise you?
It did, actually.
Okay.
It did. It's down to one now. Basically a pick 'em in favor of Michigan. So, look, you know my deal with picking Notre Dame games and that I got a weird superstition and all that. Let me just say this. From a really high level, and I can't pick the game because I'm calling it. It is tough for me to square up a really mistake-prone Michigan team with a Notre Dame team that's been very careful with the football.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It does. Absolutely makes sense.
Are you reading the subtext there?
You're confident lock of the week, Notre Dame.
For Michigan to win, Dan.
Yeah.
I think they need to run Zach Charbonnet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can run on this Notre Dame team. And the problem is Michigan's not a great running team. And
no, they ran a little bit better.
They ran a little bit better. They did.
Against Penn State last week.
They have a good back in Charbonnet. I think he's good. I think he's going to be good for a couple years. I'll be watching to see how they use him. I'm curious to see if Notre Dame can open up the playbook at all and really go at Michigan early. That's been something we've kicked around here on the show. Sometimes they have that conservative streak like the one we saw on the road against Georgia that doesn't leave many a Notre Dame fan very impressed.
Right.
So, again, I hope people are smart enough to hear what I'm saying without saying.
Say it, Ty.
I will go ahead and pick Michigan 24-21.
Okay, I'm going to lean into this line as well because it also sort of confounded me when I saw it at first. I think Michigan wins this one as well. Ty, I want to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly. For the Michigan Wolverines. I'm sorry. I'm really committing to it.
No.
Can't
good.
Do it halfway, Ty. Michigan has to win one of these games. They just have to. It's a good situation, even with Notre Dame's coming off a bye, right?
Yes.
And Notre Dame has not been on the road in a month.
Correct.
Am I reading that correctly? Since the Georgia game?
Correct.
So not exactly road tested. And I Michigan has to do everything one week. They just have to put it all together. They have to stop dropping the ball. The defense still looks to be very good, even if it isn't exactly on the level of previous Michigan defenses. So it's a tough place to play. It's, you know, they're almost a home dog. I'm going maize and blue here.
We sort of agree on this one then.
Correct.
All right. 10:30 ESPN Wazoo against your defending Red Box Bowl champions, the Oregon Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Opened up at 15.5 in favor of the Ducks, down to 14 in favor of the Ducks. Let me ask you, as the Oregon aficionado, is there any letdown potential here a week after that big Washington win? Sort of a come-from-behind element to it?
Sure, it would definitely come from behind. They were down 14 in the second half.
The way they played in the second half. Is there any letdown potential here?
Sure, Absolutely, there's letdown potential. I think I'm going to take the points. I think Oregon wins this game. I think they're about 7 to 10 points better than Washington State because of a defense that the Cougs put out there that is at times pretty abominable. And we saw Tracy Clays is pushed out, resigns, whatever happens in Pullman. So an interim defensive coordinator. And if Oregon were smart, I was going to say just run the ball straight at Washington State. But you can do whatever you kind of want against Washington State. The problem is, for Oregon, a team with aspirations of big New Year's Day-ish games, Wazoo probably has the best offense in the Pac-12. Anthony Gordon, a little sloppy with the ball. Max Borgi is a terrific all-purpose player. I like Des Patman. It was Aesop Winston's the other really good receiver. It's terrifying. Oregon's lost four straight to Wazoo now. But it's in Eugene. I'm going to go with Oregon here. I'm going to take those points, though, in a bit of a shootout. I have it, you know, something like 40 to 31.
40 to 31, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. High scoring.
I think I agree, Dan.
Although Wazoo's played a really good Pac-12 team. They've played a couple of very bad ones, and they've played a medium one. And they've all, other than Colorado, really just taken it to the Cougs. Scored about 40.
My thing with Wazoo every year, I either totally peg them the full year through, mm-hmm. or I'm always way off.
Right.
And this year feels like one of those years where I'm really off. I just don't know what to expect. Last year, just felt better about picking week in and week out with the Cougs. But I don't know. I think they're good enough on offense to keep this one close. And I could definitely see some letdown potential here after the Washington win on the road last week for Oregon. So,
yeah. And Oregon got lucky with, I think, Diamador Lenore. Is going to play in this game.
Oh, good.
The game.
He's okay.
Washington. It appears that his shoulder is fine.
Okay, good. I'll go with you. I'll take the points here, but I do think Oregon wins the game.
Okay, bit of a shootout.
Dan, let's talk about Roback, huh?
Oh my gosh, yes. Let's.
So can I tell a quick story?
I'm here. Yeah.
As you know, I'm the proud owner of a new puppy, a solid puppy, mm-hmm. as it were. Mm-hmm. And we wake up very early in the mornings, and sometimes to take her out at 5 a.m. or so, I let her out of her crate and out of her designated area of the house without properly configuring the gates elsewhere. So it gives her a little bit more free rein than I would like normally.
Okay.
Our puppy made a mad dash for the box of Roback gear that is still on one of my end tables. And I dove pretty much full extension to stop her from getting into the box and tearing
it. Wow. Precious cargo.
Thread from thread.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about my Roback.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm guessing you didn't have a similar experience with the solid baby, but I'm guessing you also would have done near full extension if you were in a similar spot.
Yeah, probably. All I can tell you is Roback is shot to the top of my polo rotation. And that, I don't know if I have to say anything else. It's just that comfortable, fits that well. The collar is that.
It's because of the collar, right?
It's that nice medium point between soft and stiff. You don't want it to be flimsy, but you don't want it to be rigid. It's right there. It's staying in its lane. It's doing its job. I appreciate it.
It took them 20 iterations to find this collar mm-hmm. for the polos. I'm not kidding. The collar is the truth here. Go out to Roback today. Roback. Your promo code is solid20. Get 20% off your first order. Roback.com. Promo code solid20. We're very excited about our Roback.
Yeah.
They have the subtle dog logo on it,
mm-hmm.
which folks are going to be asking about. They have a great lineup of game day polos in your school's favorite colors. They got Q-zips. They got stuff for the dog. They got hats. You name it. Also, a little bit of Baker Mayfield in him. Maybe it's the other way around, but he wears it. A bunch of other athletes have been seen wearing it, too. It's good stuff. Roback's a big-time supporter of the Verbal. Please do go on out there and check him out. Roback.com, Roback.com. Your promo code is solid20.
I think you're more sure of how you feel about Roback than you are about any of these games today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, let's move on to some other games here that we got on our lengthy, surprisingly lengthy Saturday slate.
Yeah.
No? Yes?
Ty, do you see how I didn't even make a joke when you said that, when you said surprisingly lengthy? I'm growing up, Ty. I'm maturing, and I just want people to know.
Let's go back in time if we could. 7:30 on Thursday. Gosh, a lot of people are listening to this on a Thursday.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to this till Friday, we could sound really dumb. But SMU at Houston. SMU is a 13-point road favorite. I'm going to go SMU here.
Ty, because people are going to be listening after the fact, Friday, Saturday morning on the way to games and stuff, I want you to speak in the most absolute language.
Okay.
I don't want you to sit anywhere near a fence. I want you to take all extremes possible in picking this game. And I will do the same so we can sound especially brilliant or especially stupid.
Shaggy Shane Bichelle completes 68% of his passes and throws 2 touchdowns. Xavier Jones, star running back, adds 2 more to his growing tally of touchdowns already. I think SMU wins going away here pretty easily.
All right. We have a short road week favorite, right? In SMU.
Yes, correct.
At the same time as a letdown look-ahead sandwich. SMU beats Temple comfortably last week. They're on the road once again at Memphis next week. A very short road week. I'm going to take those points, and I'm going to plant my flag. Pick of the week, the Houston Cougars.
Are you locking this up?
Yeah, lock of the week.
Whoa!
Lock of the week.
Okay, all right.
I didn't say outright, but I'm taking those points.
9 p.m. on Friday. ESPN2, we've got the USC Trojans on the road at Colorado. 10 points was the opening line. A lot of money came in on USC. It's up to 12.5. I maintain that USC is pretty good.
Okay.
I think this is a bad Colorado defense. I like USC's chances a lot here. Even on the road, I think they bomb Colorado by 28. And let's make them my lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
Double locks here in consecutive picks.
So USC is down a lot of dudes. They're down Marquis Stepp. I don't know what the status of Stephen Carr is. Their starter, Vavai Malapai at running back. He's out for the year. Drake Jackson, Christian Rector, Paulie Nataiote. Like, there are a lot of big names. Elijah Griffin. There's a lot of big names that are either out or severely up in the air for the time being. And I still feel good about USC. It's a short week on the road. It is a short week on the road. But Colorado had the disadvantage. I think they were on the road playing a night game last week. So it's a weird week for them as well. They're beat up on defense. They just don't have dudes on that side of the ball. It seems like the offense is checking out a little bit. Do you know anybody that went to USC?
I know people through you that went to USC. And otherwise, I know USC fans.
Right, that's what I'm saying. USC fans, people that went to, you know, Marcelo.
Yeah,
listener,
sure.
Longtime listener.
Yeah.
They're all hurt. Everybody they know is hurt. Everybody associated with USC. Anybody that has ever worn cardinal or gold in Southern California, they're hurt. So I am selling a little bit on SC long-term this season because of just how beat up they are everywhere. but Colorado should be the cure for down health. So yeah, I think USC is at least a couple touchdowns better.
12 p.m. on Saturday. Owl City Saturday, maybe.
Oh, now you're in.
On the SEC Network, Mississippi State at A&M. A&M's a 10-point home favorite. Dan, I'm going A&M. I think this is actually somewhat evenly matched.
Okay.
When Mississippi State is playing their best. I don't know when that will happen or if that will happen again.
Yeah, what is Mississippi State's best, though?
I don't know. But I think they're good enough to go toe-to-toe with A&M here because I think A&M's very one-dimensional and they're centered around Kellen Mond, as I've been saying all year. But at least with A&M, it's more of a standard deviation situation where we sort of know what we're going to get from week to week, and I'm just going to take the home team at Kyle Field.
I mean, Mississippi State was a one-man team on offense in this game last year, a game that they won because of Nick Fitzgerald. I think so, too. Mississippi State on the road this year has been...
Yuck.
It's been a rough watch.
It's been yuck.
And right. There hasn't been many of those games. I think it's just Auburn and Tennessee, which they looked poor in each of them. So another game on the road. They looked a little feisty early against LSU, but yeah, I think A&M should win this by 11 or 12. What's 9 or 10 is the spread?
10, yeah.
Yeah, 11 or 12.
You know, the best case right now for an early window of opportunity is on ESPN at high noon, Iowa at Northwestern.
Yeah, ESPN too.
You could not pay me to watch this game live.
Man, this is tough.
10.5 points. Iowa is a road favorite at Northwestern. I'm telling you, don't lay the 10 points. Do not force yourself to watch this game. Right. I expect it's all defense. I can't possibly imagine taking Iowa here. Not because I don't think they're better. Northwestern's been mud. But I would not want to lay 10.5 points here at all.
Yeah, it was a 5-6 point game pretty late against Purdue last week for Iowa. They scored 2 touchdowns in one game. The Iowa offense still feels like they're in a bit of free fall. Northwestern's defense is still pretty good. Yeah, I would just take this point and forget it's ever about to happen, going to happen, ever happened. I want nothing to do with the existence of this game.
All right, Dan. Let's go to another 12 p.m. game. This one on ESPN. We got Miami at Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Pitt opened as a 2. They're up to a 4.5 point favorite now, Dan.
Yeah, this was the coming out party for Kenny Pickett 2 years ago.
Yep.
And then Miami totally trounced Pitt right before Pitt went to the ACC championship game last season. Nikosi Perry separated his shoulder last week. And as of 3 or 4 hours ago, Manny Diaz was not ready to name a starting quarterback for this game. Well, that to me tells everything you need to know. I'm just going to give these points. I think Pitt's a touchdown better. Miami's been, I think, at home basically all year. Have you seen their schedule?
Yeah.
I want to say this is their second road game of the season.
It's crazy.
They haven't played a road game. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Since the North Carolina game on September 7th. It was a neutral site against Florida.
Wow.
But a true road game. Since September 7th, Bethune-Cookman, Central Michigan, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Georgia Tech, all at Miami, which means they're finishing on the road 4 out of 5 weeks. So the stretch is not going to be all that exciting. So if they're beat up at quarterback with the issues they have on the line, yeah, I'm just going to take Pitt and the Pitt defense to do enough damage.
I feel very confident about Pitt here. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about secretly decent Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
But as you look at the schedule and as you consider the...
Pitt's offense is bad. They're not secretly anything.
It is. It is. But as you consider the state of play elsewhere in the ACC,
mm-hmm.
and also the strong Germanic influences of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Work with me here.
Okay.
10-2 Pitt. 10-2 Pitt.
Oh, I can't do it.
10-2.
Yeah. No.
No?
I can't go that far.
All right.
Also, just the language of German makes me uncomfortable.
10-2.
Yeah.
I'm going Pitt as well. Give the 4.5. Oklahoma at K-State.
Did you take German in high school?
I took German in high school and college.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
By choice?
I'm a Hildenbrand. What do you expect?
Well, hold on. What languages were offered at Northampton High?
I had my choice of Spanish, German, and French.
Is that pretty normal where you grew up?
Probably not.
To have a German language offering?
I don't know. I've only ever gone to one school.
But like, do you have friends that are like, oh yeah, I took AP German. What?
Most of my friends, I'd say it's a 50-50 split. I don't know anyone that took French, but most of my friends took either Spanish or German.
What a useless language to learn. What a totally useless language, unless you plan on, I don't know, selling German food somewhere in Pennsylvania or living in Austria, Switzerland, or Germany. I took Spanish. I just figured everybody took Spanish.
No.
And you took it in college.
I did. 2 years in college.
Did you take AP German?
No. Let's not get crazy.
Was it offered?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
No.
What an intense class that would have been. So many German tenses.
I'm not bad at the German language. It's been a while, but I'm not bad.
If you woke up in Vienna,
yeah,
could you get around?
Probably, yes.
You could say, okay, where is a bakery? I'm lost. Where's this street? That's where my hotel is.
I think I could do it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd have to use some brain power to remember the words, but I could do it.
Fair enough. I disagree. I mean, I couldn't.
All right. ABC, 12 p.m., Oklahoma at K-State. Oklahoma, a 24-point road favorite here, Dan. Give me a reason to pick K-State.
That's a lot of points. That's a home dog. That's a lot of points. Oklahoma's bound to have a week where they just look okay, I suppose. I try to think about what I don't look at the spread as I'm thinking about how I think the game will go. And it felt to me like a 42-17 game. And my math says that's 25 points.
Yes.
So I guess I'm going to lay those points.
Laying the points going to the Chris Kleiman Fantasy Factory, aren't you?
Because they don't. Oklahoma didn't have a huge game last week, right? They just demolished West Virginia. And
Correct.
They have a bye week. So it's an open-faced look ahead is the only reason to think, like, let's just get out of this healthy. But I think even still, Kansas State has given up some points to the better teams they've faced.
I agree. Lay the points. All right. 3:30 on Fox. This game is my worst nightmare. Texas at TCU. To illustrate this point, TCU opened as a 2.5-point favorite at home.
Yeah.
And the line has been bet 3.5 points in the other direction. So Texas is now a 1-point favorite on the road, Dan. I don't want to pick this game. Do not make me pick this game here. All I'll say is that the Texas defense is real bad right now. It is real bad right now.
Is it as bad? Are they the cure for the common offense bad?
They're getting to that point.
So Kansas, after last week, is now the 82nd best passing SP Plus team. Kansas.
Right.
After last week, they're 82nd. And they torch the Texas defense.
I know.
I think TCU's offense is good enough to take advantage. Ty, do it. You know you want to.
No, I'm going Texas here.
You know
here.
You want it. Did you see the uniforms TCU's busting out?
Oh, baby, they're so good.
I posted the picture of the Jeff Daniels character from Dumb and Dumber clapping his hands with a cigar in his mouth after watching the makeover from Dumb and Dumber because he's applauding something that looks so ridiculous and stupid. You should look up the TCU uniforms and then forget you ever did.
I'm going Texas here outright. I can't do it. TCU's
disagree.
Dead to me. They're dead to me. All right. Let's rifle through a bunch of other games here. Oklahoma State at Iowa State, 3:30 on FS1. Iowa State, a 10.5-point favorite.
Yeah, it shot up. I'm going to go with the Clones here. I feel really good about them.
Do you?
Yeah, they're more complete on offense. Defensively, against, you know, what Oklahoma State is going to win with, if they're able to win, is Chuba Hubbard. And Iowa State defends the run well enough. They're especially good at preventing big plays on the ground. So I think it's a favorable matchup at home. Oklahoma State, I think they really were counting on beating Baylor. I think they like their shot coming off a bye week. They were coming off a bye week, yeah. Coming off a bye week at home, and I think it's just sort of disappointment right now in Stillwater. So I think this one could get ugly.
I do agree that there is disappointment after that.
Too many turnovers, Ty. Too many.
But it seems notable to me that this line moved as much as it did. And 7 felt better than 10.5. So I'm going to take that 10.5. I think Iowa State wins at home, but it might only be by 7.
I think this is your window of slopportunity.
Okay.
Yeah.
7 p.m. ESPN, Arkansas at Alabama. Actually, we got two games here back to back. We've got Arkansas at Bama, which is a 33-point line, and Boston College at Clemson over in the ACC at 7:30. That's a 34-point line here. Any reason to take the points in either of these games?
Yeah, Alabama's starting quarterback's not playing. Yeah, he's full-on not playing, Ty.
Okay.
I thought Alabama was going to be about 40 points better. I had it in my head about 52 to 13. And so I think Tua is worth 8 to 10 points. So I'm actually going to take the points here.
I am laying the points in both. In both. I think it's 45 to 3 over Boston College. And I think it's something like 52 to 10 over Arkansas.
I don't know. No, okay, that's fine. I think I'd probably take the points in both.
All right.
Even though Boston College's defense is dreck.
Elsewhere in the evening, we've got Arizona State at UCLA. They are a 4-point road favorite. And staying in the Pac-12, this is a late game on FS1. Cal at Utah. Utah, a 19-point favorite there, Dan. How you feel about those two?
So, man, this is a perfect Firefly game. Utah-Cal. Ah, oh, there it is. Yeah, this is a Firefly game because of Cal's injury at quarterback. Utah should only be a, 8-9 point favorite, but it's up to 18 or 19 because Cal without Chase Garbers is very, very bad on offense. So I'm going to, even with Tyler Huntley's injury, and I don't know what his exact status will be come game time. You know what? No, this is too many points. I think it's too many points. I think Cal's probably going to lose this game by double digits, but that's too many.
Yeah,
that's a great Evan Weaver, Cal secondary. It's too many.
And on the ASU-UCLA side, this UCLA team's another one that sort of confounds me. They've been really bad, and they've had a few flashes. I still don't understand how they beat Stanford. I don't get it.
Stanford has nobody left.
I know, but they
started their third-string quarterback.
UCLA's been so bad this year. They've been so bad this year.
So UCLA's record in the Pac-12 is 2-2. ASU's record is 2-2. This is where the rubber meets the road on who's the best fourth tier. I don't know. ASU has a good defense. ASU is not a fourth tier Pac-12 team. I think ASU is going to win this game by a touchdown. I don't think they have the defense to take advantage of ASU's weakness.
I'm going ASU. All right. What other games quickly do you have on your dock?
So Western Kentucky is traveling to Marshall. We're talking Conference USA East implications. Hilltoppers have had a really nice defense this year with Tyson Helton taking over. Virginia Louisville, really nice offense defense. We'll see how healthy Louisville is on offense. And Virginia obviously has been very good on defense. Tulane and Navy. It's a very nautical game, Ty.
Okay.
We've got a Green Wave and the Midshipmen.
Sure.
We got an email from an Army fan saying that Navy was fool's gold. And I love that salt. I love it so much. Army's not as bad. Navy's not as good. That's a good one. Indiana, Nebraska, battle for the Big Ten's third tier. Who's that team? UCF Temple should be, honestly, it should be a headliner because that's just a full-on really good American game, like American Athletic Conference. I think I like Temple there.
Yeah.
I like good defenses at home. I just do. And that's a night game.
Also,
Utah State. Yeah.
Also big Owl implications. Don't forget.
Owl City. Yes. Yeah, Philadelphia is Owl City this weekend.
That's right.
Utah State at Air Force. Big Mountain West Mountain implications.
Okay.
No? Yes?
Sure.
And then I do have a request, Ty, if we have time to squeeze something in.
Mm-hmm.
Will you drop that big stanky stroking?
Okay.
Succulent.
Okay. Settle.
Squirming. Drum in five.
All right, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Who you got?
We got Georgetown traveling to the campus on which you got married.
Yes, that's right.
I'm going Hoyas here. Class of the conference.
The Hoyas away from the Hornets nest. It is multi-sport field, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the best situation for them, so I'm going to go Lehigh. They are 2-0 in conference this year.
That's
which
true.
Which is tops, so we'll go with them.
Colgate, I'm going to go with Georgetown again. Colgate at Holy Cross. Colgate gets, off the schneid?
Yeah.
On the Crusaders?
That's right. Give me Holy Cross.
Yeah.
Got to go Crusaders here.
Bucknell traveling to the class of the Patriot League. Just in terms of alumni and status in the world, Lafayette.
Got to go Yetis here. I go Big John Burke all the time. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Big John Burke, 6'4", 320, big dude.
Did you have a lock of the week?
Yeah, I gave my lock of the week already. You know
what was your lock? One more time.
By the way, is that our last Patriot League game? Only three?
That's what you have down here on this document.
Okay, only three. There could be others if there are. We're with you in spirit.
What was your lock?
My lock was USC.
Your lock was SC.
On Friday night.
Walking wounded.
Yeah.
And mine was Houston, I believe.
Yes.
I'm going to regret that a lot. But you know what? I like taking a stance and I like sticking to it. It appears there were only three Patriot League games.
Wow. Okay.
None of which appear to be televised nationally. 12:31 and 3:30 p.m. respectively.
Oh, you know what? And let me amend a previous statement.
Oh.
Lehigh has won three in a row. They started 0-3, but they've won three in a row. They're now 3-3. So that's respectable. And they're tops in the Patriot League standings. So not
is
as bad
it
as
Owl
I thought.
City Saturday then? Can you make a ruling?
I don't have any better suggestions. Which
you
is
don't
probably
have a single better one.
No. No. It's okay. So stupid that it fits.
Should mention that, God, oh, they're off this week. Okay, we have a Baylor sound. Are we just going to debut it the next time we
preview
them?
We'll have to do
them?
It next Baylor time. Yeah, next Baylor time, sound. Next Baylor game, we'll do it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Preview.
All right. Well, thank you to one and all again for downloading this madness that we call the Solid Verbal. This is our week 9 preview pod. As always, you can reach out, solidverbal@gmail.com. We read all the emails. We can't respond to them all because we get, I don't know, dozens upon dozens of these in a given week, but
right.
Right in. Anywho, let us know what's on your mind.
Solidverbal@gmail.com,
or you can go to the website, solidverbal.com, and fill out the contact form. Again, we read them. We appreciate them. We just can't get back to everybody. Also, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do so on your podcasting app of choice. Also, if you like the show, don't forget to give us a rating, a star rating, leave a review if you like what we're doing. All that stuff helps. We do appreciate it more than we could ever put into words. And otherwise, if you're looking to be part of the Verballerhood, don't forget you can go on out to Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and follow our accounts, talk with other Verballers. And if you're really a super Verballer and you're already part of the subreddit at solidverbal.reddit.com.
Are we starting a zine, Ty?
A zine? No, I don't know.
Are we
what
starting
that is.
A street team? You don't know what a zine? It's like a DIY magazine that you pass out outside of concerts.
A zine? No, we don't have a zine yet. Don't rule it out, but we don't have it yet. What I was going to say is you can go to solidverbal.com/store. And we now have Two's Crew shirts that are available for purchase.
Oh, yes.
Incredible shirts.
Thank you very much. I'm proud of the design.
I don't know how you do this stuff, but it looks wonderful. The logo that you see, if you go on out to our website, solidverbal.com, and click on any of the Two's Cruise episodes, that logo, that bearded logo, the beautiful bearded logo.
Say it.
You
can say semen, Ty. You can say it.
The semen that you see.
Yeah.
We've now got that on a shirt.
Yeah.
Looks wonderful. So check that out, solidverbal.com/store, if you really, truly want to be part of the Verballerhood.
I got to start a zine.
A zine. We got an e-zine.
It's a fanzine, a zine. Yeah, yeah. It's real cheap looking.
Well, that's all I got, Dan.
That's same with here. Yeah, yeah. I'm good.
Would encourage everyone to enjoy their Owl City Saturday. Please do give us a call at 408-VERBAL-1. It's the Reverb Line, 408-837-2251. We'll cut those up. We'll put them together. We'll play them on Sunday as part of our Week 9 recap episode, Daniel. Do me a favor, please do wash that 11% poopy smell out.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
At some point between now and Sunday.
Yep.
All right.
Promise.
I will do my best to keep the roback away from the pup. And in the meantime, we encourage everyone to enjoy the rest of their week, all of their Saturday, all of their Sunday. We'll talk to you at some point in the very near future. In the meantime, for that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, thanks for listening. Catch you all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace. Can you say stay solid in German?
I have to look it up.
Ah.
Yeah. Stay solid, German translation. Blieb solida.
All right, leave all of that in there.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.